Thank you. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Q3 2018 earnings and results reports. I'm John Maxamchuk, the Chief Operating Officer. We actually have online today a full team. It's including the Chairman of our Board, Vasily Tofan, our CEO, Victor Bostan, the CFO, Victor Arapan, and our Investor Relations Director, Diana Dornescu. So with a full team on hand to answer any questions if they come up. Let's get into it. You have the presentations, I hope, everybody in front of you. If not, they're available on our website online. What I would propose is let's skip past the opening that you're probably all used to already and go straight to the results parts. If you turn to page 15, which is where you start the high-level results, we'll get into it. As you see, first off, revenue grew from RON 94.6 to RON 113.3 million. That's an overall growth of 20% year-over-year. But it really actually does not highlight the strength of the third quarter, which we're very happy with, by the way. If you recall from the second quarter, our year-over-year growth had dropped down to 17% on some shipping and order delays that we said had slipped into the Q3. And as you see, we've actually started catching up on that very nicely. As we get a little bit further on, we'll go into some market-by-market breakdown of where those recoveries came in. But let's say that the catch-up on revenue is something we're quite happy with. EBITDA grew from 31.3 million RON to 39.5 million RON. Very strong. That's a 26% year-over-year growth. It's also an increase up to 35% EBITDA margin. And that's a continuing trend. So if you recall, Q1 had started the year at 32.6. Q2 was up to 33.1. And we're now up just shy of 35%. So not only is the margins growing and the EBITDA is growing, but we're getting stronger and accelerating as we go. So we're really happy with the margins and the EBITDA. Net income also grew in the same level with Q2. So from 22.1 to 25.6, we're maintaining a 23% net income ratio, and that's a 16% year-over-year growth. If you turn to page 16, we can start going into a little bit market by market, the growth rates. So Romania grew at 32% year-over-year and continues to be our largest market and the driver of our growth. It continues to be driven by a premium per car brand with 35% year-over-year and a lot of long-term upside potential for Crama-Ceptura brand, which is both in the mainstream and premium segments. We also, earlier this year, had a soft launch of Bardar, our brandy. It was this year cleared for import into Romania, and we're starting to get listings and expect some nice results there as well. Moldova grew at 13%. And if you working down, this is where you start to see some of the recovery from the second quarter. Poland is at 10%, which is a nice growth. If you recall, at 6 months, they were at 6% loss, negative 6% year over year. So we've actually recovered that and have brought the total year up to a plus 10% year over year growth in Poland. Very happy with that. That's sales of mostly Bostavan wine. Asia is growing at 39%. That's our biggest comeback of the year for this quarter. If you recall, at 6 months, Asia was at a minus 10%. That's where we had seen the delay of several orders to China that had been expected in June and had slipped into the third quarter. So we did get those sales. We did book them and brought the entire year up to plus 39%. That's a great turnaround in the third quarter. Czech and Slovakia is a similar story. We're at 15% year-over-year growth. That's up from minus 4 at 6 months. And Ukraine as well. Ukraine is still at minus 1%, but at 6 months, if you recall, we were at minus 11. So we generated some pretty good positive growth in Ukraine and are bringing that back as well. So market by market, we're actually showing quite good growth, especially exports. And we are very happy with those results. Brand by brand is also quite good. As you see, Porcar is growing at 22%. It's still driven by the core Romanian market. We're still Bucharest-based brand, but we see significant potential for continued growth through geographic expansion, secondary cities, and into the regions. And we have a couple of exciting innovations prepared for 2019. We're also seeing really good results with our sparkling Cuvée that is doing very well in the international competitions, and we expect will really bolster our performance in Romania going forward. Bostavan grew at 15% year over year, but if you recall, at 6 months it was only plus 3. That's mostly the exports that we saw, so that's Poland, Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Ukraine, really bringing that back up. So this is actually a good improvement for Bostavan. Kramacep Tora at 27%, with still a lot of upside potential that we see in Astrum. We also do not have a product line at the moment in the 20 to 25 RON per bottle segment, which is a pretty large segment. We're looking for innovations that we will introduce into the market next year, and there's really a lot of continued growth potential in Ceptura. And of course, Bardar continues to see very strong growth in the bottled brandy and reduced dependence on the bulk brandy sales. So Bardar continued at 30% growth year over year. Overall, the markets and the brands are all showing very good strength. We're actually happy across all the markets. Of course, we always could be happier, but let's say the third quarter was one that we can be very, we can really be happy with the trends that we're seeing. If you continue on to page 18, as we said, this is the Romanian market, our core market and our driver of our main growth, showing where there is some additional room for expansion. As you see by the regions, as we said, we're primarily still Bucharest-based. There's still room for market share improvements in the regions. If you look at our presence in the retail, especially with Kramacep Tora, there is some room for improvements in both the new retail, the modern trade, and the traditional retail. And we also measure ourselves against our global peer groups, where you see market shares country by country of some of our peers. We're still staying at a group market share in Romania of 9%. Our peers have market shares in the range of 35, 21, and 18%. So we do see a lot of continued potential in Romania for all brands. And some of the basis for it, we always like to show off our customer satisfaction in our ratings. We're very proud of them. So on page 19, you see some of the digital feedback on Vivino in Romania. This is the three price segments: the less than 30 RON, 30 to 60, and 60 to 120. The 30 to 60 is the most impressive, really. That's first of all, it's a huge segment with a lot of margins on those products, and we're sitting there with 5 of the top 10 and 7 of the top 25 highest rated wines in that segment. So if we seem optimistic about our future growth potential in Romania, it's because of this. We have very, very strong brands, and they're really doing well, and the consumers are really going crazy for it. On to page 20, we can get into some of the detail of our P&L. So as we said earlier, our revenue grew at 20% versus 9 months in 17. Cost of sales only 12%. So you see the driver of margins were actually, this was based in a large part on the really strategic decision last year to purchase grapes and inventories early when we saw prices going up. That really lowered our cost base, especially compared to competitors. And you can see it this year in the improvements in our cost of goods sold. So our margins are improving in a large degree because of that very good decision last year. We also continue to improve our mix with premiumization, even moving up market in Kramacep Tora and Bostavan as well. Gives us a gross profit of 29% growth year over year, total gross profit margin of 50%, which is plus 3 to 4% improvement from last year. Further down on the P&L, this is a question I'm sure everybody's been waiting for. So we're going to get into the SG&A, showing 37% growth, with marketing and sales up 70 and general administrative up 25. So I'm expecting questions about this. Let's say first is that a lot of this is a timing difference when comparing year over year to 2017. And a lot of it is actually due to the differences in timing and recognition last year. If you look at the 2018 quarter by quarter, our SG&A and marketing and sales, these are all very, very trending very consistently. In fact, we see a reduction in the third quarter from what we had in the first and second quarters. Reductions, especially in the G&A, first half of the year, we did have a lot of costs related to the IPO, legal and compliance and so forth. Those are starting to taper off, and we're actually seeing a slight reduction. But in terms of the year-over-year comparison, we do see that evening out by the end of the year. We're giving guidance in that range of a conservative 11 to 13% year-over-year growth, which is, in our opinion, this is actually very well controlled, considering that we became a public company this year. We had a lot of increased costs on both audit fees, compliance, legal, investor relations, and so forth. We've actually been able to control our G&A very well over the year. So an 11 to 13% year-over-year growth in the year that we go public, we think that's a very good control. Further down, we get to EBITDA, which grew from 31.3 to 38.6. That's a 23% year-over-year. And again, the adjusted EBITDA, 31.3 to 39.5. We're up to 35%. That's plus 2 percentage points, which we went over. Further down, net profit, again, the same thing. We're up 16% year-over-year and staying stable at 23%. It grew slightly slower than the EBITDA. As you see, the EBITDA margin improved, and net income, the net earnings and net income did not. Most of this is driven by higher financing costs. We had some increase in net debt, and there's higher interest rates on loans in Romanian banks. The ROBOR has increased, as most of you know. And there's also some financial exchange rate adjustments due to the Moldovan lei and USD strengthening versus the Romanian lei. So mostly it's the financing costs that kept the net income at the same margin ratio where EBITDA was improving. But we do expect it to stay at that level through the year. Page 21 is you've gotten used to it. This is the graphs of the Moldovan lei appreciation. It's third quarter, it stayed about the same, even improved a little bit. But as you can see from this, we're year over year, we're still much, the Moldovan lei is still much stronger than against other currencies. Not getting worse, but the year over year impacts are going to continue until that balances out. Going on to page 22, again, we'll take every chance we can to brag about our wines and the quality of our wines. We are still remain the most awarded winery in Central and Eastern Europe, and we continue to improve. So you see the decanter medals were number one in 2015 to 2018. And in this year, 2018, you shows that we reached the 50 medal mark. And this is continuing, by the way. We're not done this year. The Decanter Asia Awards came out, and we were heavily medaled there. We also had the IWCB for sparkling wines in Bucharest, where we took 2 golds and 1 silver for Porcar Cuvée. And the Effervescent du Monde awards are coming next week. And well, it might be It might be too aggressive to start announcing medals yet, but we're very optimistic. We have a great product in our cuivre, and we expect to see even more medals before the end of the year. And this is supported by the global supplies and the experts worldwide. You see some testimonies there on page 23. We'll take you to page 24. This is something that I think I'm sure everyone is asking about or preparing to ask about. It's about the strength of the harvest of 2018. This is true. So our harvest in 2018 worldwide was excellent. We saw big growth. We have a 20% growth in Moldova, and we've also been able to purchase a large number of third-party grapes in large volumes. The real positive things about this are, first of all, we had a chance to be extremely selective when purchasing third-party grapes. We're going to see that in the quality of our wines next year for sure. Quality is going to be quite good. As you see, quite a big increase in our stocks. So we actually see three places where that's really going to help us out. First is we're going to do most of the production ourselves this year, and we're not going to have to rely next year on as much on purchasing third-party bulk wine. We like this better. I mean, winemaking is our strength. We prefer our wines to buying third-party wines, so that will definitely add to our quality. Second is it gives us large inventories for distillates in Bardar, so we can start giving primary materials in order to prepare ourselves for anticipated future growth in Bardar and the brandy. And we are also experiencing increasing demand, obviously, for our premiums, especially premium reds, which have to mature a bit longer in the barrels and in the bottles. They don't get released the first year. So this will also help us add to our inventory of premium reds, which is really one of our growth drivers, both in terms of value and volume. Moving on, we go to page 26, which is our update on guidance. And I'm sure that caught some people's attention. We have updated our organic revenue growth from 24 to 28%. We've lowered that to 18 to 20%, with a 20% currently in 9 months. This is based mostly on those delays that we experienced in the second quarter. We saw them. We saw that we were making the rebound. We did make the rebound in the third quarter, as you've seen, and we're actually quite happy with the strength of our sales across all markets. But we should acknowledge the fact that we're not going to recover it all the way this year. So the markets are still strong. We're still strong in the markets, and we're still growing at 20% and more, which is great. But this year, we're just not going to get it back. We're not going to get all of that back to reach the 24-28% that we had originally projected. We're also expanding and transitioning our distribution in Moldova, and we do expect there is a chance for some logistical misses on deliveries there. As we pointed out, the margins continue to get stronger. We left EBITDA at 34, 37. We're now at 35, up from 33 last quarter. So we brought it back up well into the guidance range and just getting stronger in the range of guidance. Net income margin, we're maintaining 24 to 27%. We're currently at 23, but the fourth quarter is always our strongest in margins. It's represents a large portion of sales for the year due to seasonality, and larger sales almost always generate larger margins. So we're quite comfortable that we're going to get into the net income guidance range as well by the end of the year. That's it. Those are the broad strokes. I think we're, again, as I said, we're happy with the quarter. We're happy with the direction and the improvements that we're showing specifically versus second quarter. And at this point, I think we can open up to any questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you're using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. The first question is from Kaios Rampanou from BCR. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thank you for a great presentation and congratulations on great results. And again, congratulations on the good relationship that your IR is having with the investment community. I have a couple of questions. One is a soft question, if you want, related to your marketing efforts of next year of expanding in different age range in Romania and Moldova, because we see some of your competitors that come up with product that appeals to the younger audience, and they are quite successful, especially in the lines of rosés, for instance. We see that your rosé is a premium product, but I wonder if you're doing anything to address this growing younger market. The second question would be about bottlenecking in your production facilities. Is there any area that you think can be addressed, or if there is any problem with bottlenecking? The third question, and I'm sorry, I don't want to hug the whole meeting, is about the growing inventories and receivables that we see on your balance sheet, and what is this caused by, and how we should look at that. And finally, are you going to come to Good Wine next week in Bucharest? And if so, we'll be happy to meet. Thank you.
Okay, so thank you for the softball question. We like those. Marketing for 2019, I can always talk about marketing. It's the one of the more fun areas of my job. Yes, we have new product lines coming out in terms of targeting the younger segment. In fact, some of the emphasis and growth that we're projecting in Ceptura, in Crama Ceptura, almost directly addresses that. We are very strong in rosés. We won a lot of medals. We do this very well across the group. And we do plan on bringing this this expertise to Crama Ceptura as well. But yes, the Astrum segment and the new product segment line that's coming out, those will all be appealing to the younger, say the 20 plus crowd. Second is bottlenecks in production. We've been very good at managing this. We've put up probably 4 to 5 years now in a row of massive growth. And I think our production team has done a great job on managing bottlenecks. We do have a couple of years last year, this year, and next year with some investments in CapEx in the wineries. But we're within line of what we had projected in the prospectus. We're well in control of it. Crama Ceptura is in very good shape right now. We have some additional investments planned for Pucar and Bostavan next year. Bardar had some investments this year and is in very good shape. So in terms of bottlenecks and production, we're on top of that very well. We're constantly looking at least 5 years out at production needs, and we don't expect any problems in that area. The inventories and receivables, we spoke about that a little bit on slide 24, where you see the purchases of additional grapes. That's what's driving our inventories at the moment. So the harvest season is just finished. And as you see, we did purchase a lot of grapes this year. So our overall was a significant 50% growth. But as I said, there's basically three areas where that's going to be used. One is it does limit the need to buy bulk wine next year. Bulk wine is more expensive than grapes. Obviously, we get much better margins on wines produced from our own grapes than we do buying someone else's wine, because then we also have to pay for their infrastructure and their winemaking and so forth. So this is gonna translate into continued good margins next year, having our own grapes. The primary materials for Bardar, for the brandy distillery, Bardar, as you see, is growing really fast. We have been purchasing bulk spirits for them. And these primary inventories are looking, you know, 3, 5, and 7 years out. So we're really loading the chamber for Bardar's continued growth. And of course, you know, Porcaro's reds, the premium red wines that are one of our, well, best margin generator for sure, and are growing very fast. It's our flagship. So we would be able to build inventories of our more mature premium reds. And good wine. Yes, we will be there next week. We'll have our stands, and our Romania team will be there with our marketing.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the liner Stefan Lungu from Wood & Co. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for the presentation, and congrats on the results. Just a quick question on my side. Could you talk a bit more about Ceptura development, specifically in the mid-market segment, so 20 to 30 rounds. Thank you.
Sure, Stefan. Thanks, and welcome. Ceptura mid-market. So we've got the Astrum brand, which is there. It's one of our primary focus areas right now. It's a big segment. Price segment, and we have a single-digit market share there in a product that has good margins. So at the moment, focusing on the growth of Astrum and growing share is part of our priorities for Ceptura this year and next year. We've put quite a bit of investment into advertising. As you see in the marketing and sales, we've also been pushing listings to try to get them on the shelf in different retail chains. And Astrum is actually one of the future growth drivers that we see. We do not have a product in the 25 Rhone range, and that's something that we are aware of and are working on. We do expect to see a product out next year in that range. It's a big opportunity for us. Very good margins there. It's still a pretty big segment, bigger than the premium segment where Magnus occupies the shelf. So we have products in development there, and that we'll see both of those in the market and growing next year.
Thanks. Thanks very much. No, that was very helpful. I think that's all from my side.
Okay.
As a reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. The next question comes from the line of Caitlin Diaconu from Raiffeisen Bank. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. So I have three questions. The first one would be, what are the problems right now in Moldova? Just to better understand a bit why there are some weaker growth margins in sales in the home market. The second one would be if you can comment or give some more color on the recent rumors regarding a potential M&A with Casa de Vinuri Huș. And the third one would be related to financial losses. So how much were the FX losses, FX-related losses, in the third quarter, so not in the year-to-date numbers, but just in the third quarter. Thank you.
Okay. So, okay. So let's start with Moldova. As I said, we're in a transition moment at the transition at the moment with our distribution in Moldova. I said we've grown tremendously fast in the past 3 to 4 years. We've outpaced our distributor, and it's necessary for us to enhance our distribution in Moldova. So we're developing that this year. It's something going on right now, but as with anything else where there's logistics involved, it's a moving target, and we don't exclude the possibility that we're going to miss a couple of deliveries this year in the fourth quarter. In long term, it's going to put us in a much stronger position. We're developing a platform that's going to give us a much better growth going forward. But it's an implementation of a complex process. So it's a necessity driven from the fact that we have actually attained a whole new level from where we were, say, 4 years ago. And it's just part of our evolution. You mentioned Hoosh. Pramila Husha, I think the legal name is Speed SRL. So we took a hard look at Speed at Hoosh over the summer. We had even at one point asked the courts for a postponement of their bankruptcy to take a really deep look at them. There's no secret there. I think that's publicly available information. And we did take a good look. In the end, with our evaluation, we understood that there was not a restructuring of Speed that made sense for us, at least, and we stepped back from that. We are not going to restructure Speed or Kramila Hoosh. Obviously, there was some press about that. We did not comment. They were in the process of bankruptcy, and you can understand it would not have been appropriate for us to make any public statements around our view of their potential future. They entered into bankruptcy officially last week in the courts, so we wouldn't be prejudicing anybody by saying that we didn't see a restructuring possibility for them. It's already done, and they're already in bankruptcy. That said, we liked a lot of what we saw in terms of their assets and production. We'll probably take another look at the asset sales during the bankruptcy liquidation. We're interested still, but as of an acquisition of Speed SRL and a restructuring, that's not going to happen there. They're already in bankruptcy. The third question about Forex losses, I'm going to pass over to Victor Arapan, our CFO.
Okay, our finance costs in Q3, as I understood, this is more was the question. Namely, in Q3 we had 2 million finance costs, 2 million RON, but almost all of them represent interest and loan related fees. So the Forex loss, we didn't have a big impact from changing in exchange rates in Q3. The currency was very stable comparing with end of June 2018, and the significant increase in finance cost in Q3 is mainly that in Q3 we always arrange in July and in August we arranged new loans both in Romania and in Moldova to be prepared for big harvesting campaign and acquisition of grapes.
Thank you. That's it for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time, and I would like to hand back to John Maximchuk for closing comments. Please go ahead.
Okay, well, thank you, everybody, for your participation, your good questions. It's good to see everybody online again this quarter. As always, if you do have additional questions, you can always follow up with Diana. Her email, investor relations email, is on our website, so we're always available to respond to additional questions afterwards. And we look forward to seeing you next quarter with a great year end. Have a good evening and a nice weekend ahead.